When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Theme song!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Tonight, we are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history of professional wrestling.
And this is
Jason is here.
Dude, I swear to God, I'm not as big an asshole as it sounds like.
Troy is here.
Hey, I call them like I see them, all right?
And Taz is here. Sal is here.
It's Taz! Well, look at it this way. The first thing we've done together as a team.
I grab my dick, you grab your dick. You work my arm, I work your arm. Same time. Same time. It's like jerking off together, but not gay. We're not touching dicks. Each other's dicks, anyway. I'm touching my own dick. You're working it, and I'm loving it.
Well, enough! It's time for
the rundown.
Welcome to this edition of the Rundown Wrestling Podcast. I am your host for the evening. My name is Jason. I am joined by my main man, Sal. What's up, Sal?
Hey, how you doing, Big Jason?
Hanging in there. How is that post-WrestleMania hangover kicking on you? Now is the everything's worn off from the trip. You're just back in the normal routine life this week. Is that hangover getting to you?
I hate it. I absolutely hate it, especially because I'm broke because I spent all my money in WrestleMania, and then when I got home, I spent all my check money on bills that I had postponed till after Mania. So now I'm like broke. And I'm like, I don't get paid until next Friday.
But you are also something else, so let's let our listeners know, Sal. What do you have to tell us tonight?
I am officially, after they ran through, they audited my transcripts, they went through every single detail of my program, I am officially a college graduate.
Congratulations. If I had the little soundboard, but congratulations, that's a really cool accomplishment, dude. Not a lot of people follow through on that, so be proud of yourself.
It is incredible to me to see my name on that diploma, because ask me 5 years ago and I would have been like, no shot in hell, I don't have the time.
Yeah. No.
And then the pandemic happened and life changed.
Yeah, absolutely, for a lot of people in a lot of ways. But so how's life been?
Outside
of the WrestleMania hangover and the college graduation, what else has been going on?
It's getting nice out, which is a plus, because I like being outside. I like the spring and the summer. Other than that, I got some... They're going to send me for a lactose test to see if I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, lucky.
But you know what's weird? It's just a breath test. There's no special diet. It's just breathe into a tube, and we'll give you the results in 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay.
I'm like, hey, you can tolerate lactic acid, but you are fucking drunk, dude.
It's a setup. They're going to arrest me for public intoxication.
It's like the two catch a predator house for alcoholics. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, my fucking physical health needs to be better, and that's the next step, is I need to work on that.
Yeah, I think everybody's in that boat a little bit, though. I mean, we're all just trying our best.
Sure.
You get to a certain point, it's like, there's so much shit going on, dude. Like, a few years ago, you remember, I was fucking in the gym all the time, and fucking... Now, dude, it's like, if I can get there 3 times a week, it's a good week. It's just with the kid being older and work being crazy, and shit gets tough, man.
Mm-hmm. I remember you had that picture and fucking showing off the guns and being like... better shape than most of the boys.
Yeah, no, I still got the guns. Just to get a little more in the gut area.
Nah.
Looking more like Sheamus these days.
Oh, leave Sheamus alone. Yes, he looked a little less cut, but he was still able to go. He wasn't wasn't blown up and nothing like that.
I had a great match. Him and Ivar had a great match, and the white noise off the top was impressive. A second rope.
But I was annoyed the next day with how many people were like, "Whoa, Sheamus got fat." Oh, fuck off. Yeah.
Well, he had fucking neck surgery, so, you know, you can't really do much, guys.
Right. Well, what kind of fucking workout can you do when your neck is in a brace? Yeah.
But cool that he came back with his old theme song, though. I didn't even realize it at first until...
I didn't either.
The crowd was loud, but...
Great to see Sheamus back. Always loved Sheamus. Especially more recently. Like, I didn't really care for him when he first was, like, beating Triple H. Like, in, like, 2006 or 2010, whatever it was.
About when he won the title in the table match with John Cena. There's still people that believe that was an accidental win.
No, it was not an accidental win, but it was a way to get the title on Sheamus without having John Cena get pinned, and we all know that.
Right.
Which is fine, but I don't know. They kind of hot-shotted Sheamus to like the front of the world title picture as soon as he came up.
Yep.
And that always is going to leave a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth.
Yeah, it's true.
But what can we do? We have a very interesting situation where we have the lull and everybody's still kind of like talking about how awesome and how great WrestleMania is. We have some fallout. But then we have the draft in 2 weeks. And surprisingly, I believe, did they do that thing again where half the draft happens on Friday, and then the pay-per-view happens, and then the other half happens the next... Or do they do it the week before?
No, I think it's Monday, Friday.
Okay. So that's good.
Now, I don't know yet if they're going to do that dumb shit where Raw gets two picks for every one pick SmackDown gets and that stuff, but...
Probably.
I hope not, because that's idiotic. And now it seems like the vibe I'm getting... They haven't officially said it in, but the vibe I'm getting is that NXT is in this draft. And not in the ways they have in the past where... You know, NXT people just get taken, but it sounds like NXT is going to be picking talent to go to NXT, which is sort of a very interesting twist.
I hope that's the case. You know, like you said, they haven't announced it yet, so you never know. It could just be more poaching of the NXT roster.
Right.
But if it is the case with NXT has a draft pick, imagine they like, with the NXT pick, we select Damian Priest.
Yeah. No, but it's a good exercise. Let's say realistically, who is some talent you could see from the main roster being moved down to NXT?
Why did R-Truth instantly pop into my mind?
No, but I will say somebody like I could totally 100% see somebody like Natalya moving down.
Natalya, and, sure.
Because she's already down there. She's got a little bit of a storyline going on currently. She doesn't have a lot going on the main roster, and I think she would serve a valuable purpose to be able to take some losses down there to put over some of the young talent and use her established name as a performer in the industry to help get some of the younger women over.
I will be annoyed if they select the Final Testament, because they're already here. What do you mean? You know what I mean?
I mean, officially they would be now.
I know, but that's the thing. People like Ivar, people like the Final Testament, I don't think they should be drafted to NXT. That's just, they're already there for like the past 4 weeks.
Well, I mean, technically Cross hasn't even wrestled there. It's just been JOP. So.
That's true.
Well, how do you feel about the Final Testament down in NXT?
I have no problem with them being in NXT. I actually like the way they hyped them up this week as former NXT tag team champions, and Cross himself, a former two-time NXT champion. I like that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's a great spot for Cross, too. He's sort of – they've been trying to sort of rebuild his image a little bit after some of those failed runs on the main roster, and I think another strong run in NXT – as a leader of this group, might give him the opportunity that maybe he wouldn't get on the main roster to sort of reestablish himself.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the IWC see it as a demotion. I don't think of it like that.
A demotion is when you lose money, when your pay gets dropped. And from everything I've heard, this is not the case with any of these people going down to NXT. They're going to maintain their main roster salaries, similar to what Baron Corbin did, and just work down there.
I think it's smart. I think it gets them exposure.
And I think the thing we're forgetting is that CW deal is coming up soon, too. They're going to want to establish that as a big thing for that new network relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's good for talent, especially underutilized talent on the main roster. They can get a fresh start in NXT, fresh feuds. It works. It's the benefit of having all this talent. You can move people around, and you can get fresh matchups, and you can keep people, you know, working on their character or whatever. But for example, there are some people who were recently moved down to NXT, recently within the past year, and I think they're ready to go back to Raw or SmackDown. Somebody like Dijak, I think, is ready.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah. Look, I'm kind of down for this psycho prison guard character. I think it could work.
What do you think about adding Dijak into Cross's group?
It could be interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely makes them dangerous.
Yeah. And I saw it sort of fits in with them a little bit, too.
Also, we had talked about Ilya not having challengers. Somebody like Cross, holy shit, there's your challenger.
Ilya's losing the title next week, bro.
You think so?
I mean, you think Trick's leaving NXT? I don't think so. Although we don't have predictions for that this week. We probably should have.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think... are they fighting? Because it's 2 weeks.
I think they said next week at the end of... That's okay. Why Dragunov had a match this week, because Trick had a match this week. And
so is the women's match the main event of week two?
Might be.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see how they do it.
Yeah. Do you prefer the draft format we see now, where it's like they actually conduct it almost like the NFL draft? Or do you like the old one where it's just like, okay, and here's the newest pick, and somebody comes out and you have no idea?
I like...
because, like, you could see, imagine tuning in to NXT on Tuesday. It's like, all right, and here is NXT's first pick. Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Imagine. I like... and I don't care where you do it. I don't care if you do it on Raw. If NXT doesn't get their own, like, draft show, it's fine. I like announcing a pick and having that guy come out. That's okay. The old school in me, I guess.
Okay. It's interesting. I sort of like the style they do now, where they just sort of announce the picks. I think it adds a little, like, I don't know, but I like sports, so it sort of adds a little sports feel to it.
So now,
what I didn't like was that year they did the war rooms and they had the fucking robots in there.
Oh, that was terrible. That was terrible. Yeah,
that was bad. That was a Vince thing.
100%. I miss the days of the original draft. You know, like Vince McMahon coming out there and being like, I choose The Rock. And everyone, holy shit. Like,
yeah.
It made it feel like
a lot of
deal.
Iterations. We had that randomizer at one point.
Oh, God.
It was like, this person is on your show now.
Remember Jim Ross? Oh, yeah.
And they didn't
he didn't
know
even
they
know.
Switched.
He was like swearing on air.
Yeah.
And then that time Triple H got drafted, and then backstage he was like, I'm not fucking doing that, brother.
And then the time that John Cena got drafted at the start of the show and then drafted again at the end of the show.
Oh. Yeah, see, less
pretty
of that
sure
bullshit.
You can't do that.
Yeah, that was terrible. Anyway, the draft should be fun. But Backlash, I feel like, is going to be inconsequential. It's going to be a showcase of the greatest hits for the French crowd.
Not to spoil anything that we might talk about later. I don't know if we will or not, but I am totally pumped for the idea of Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. I'm really into that matchup.
Yes, but I feel like Cody and Styles going to get the right build? Because do they even have enough time for that? There's a lot of history you could go through with Cody and Styles. Both former Bullet Club leaders, kind of. Both guys from Georgia. You could do a really nice, like, 3-month program with Cody and Styles. Maybe,
yeah,
and maybe Backlash is round one, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
So you think it's Styles, you think it's absolutely not going to be LA Knight, right?
I can't see it. First off, LA Knight got the win at WrestleMania, so this would be the leveling the playing field to let Styles get this one back. And then it sets up the heel versus the face at the pay-per-view, so I think it just makes all the stars are aligned for this to be
a spot. If you want to continue to see Cody getting the reactions he's getting. The last thing you want to do is put him against a babyface that's almost as popular.
That's true. That's true.
So it's got to be Styles, in my opinion.
100%. And I'm actually interested in seeing what they do with Priest and Jey Uso. It doesn't necessarily at this point have that big match feel. And I think part of that being that I don't think they've done a great job of making Jey feel like, other than calling him main event Jey Uso, I don't think they've done a great job of making him feel like a main eventer. Because, yes, he's in the main event, but he's often losing those main events. So,
we'll see. He is fun, though. He's a lot of fun. His entrance is a lot of fun. Everybody gets into it.
Yep.
He's got the Macho Man glasses now.
Yeah, but they're not going to take the title off Priest at this point.
No. But you do have to wonder how many times you can put Jey Uso in the spot and have him lose. And, you know, and not affect his stock, ultimately.
It sort of feels like they've proven that they can keep doing that over and over again. Some people are just that over, you know? Who knows? But all of this, and we talk about Jey Uso, all of this to me is background noise compared to what the biggest event, in my opinion, of the week was, which took place on SmackDown last week when we saw the latest chapter of the Bloodline story unravel. And we've said this on the show before. Every time I think I'm fucking done with the Bloodline story, they do something that makes me go, oh, fuck. All right, I'm back in. And they did that again last week on SmackDown because you have Solo and Jimmy and Paul arriving at the arena, and they go to enter their locker room only to find out that it's Cody Rhodes' locker room now. And Jimmy is ready to go in there and start fighting for the locker room, basically. And Paul says very diplomatically, hey, he's the champion now. We'll get the belt back. We'll get the locker room back. Let's start the plan day one kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to a little bit later in the show, they are in the ring, and
before that, because Solo is all pissed off at Cody being in the locker room too, and mm-hmm. Paul says he won, and in this business, wins and losses have consequences, so he gets the locker room, and we accept that.
Yeah.
So then you fast forward. And Paul's going on about how the Bloodline are going to come back. And Solo just dead stares him. And Paul stops talking. And Solo grabs the mic and he said, you said wins and losses have consequences, right? That's what you said, right? And he's like, well, they also means that it's got to be change. And he looks right at Jimmy. Jimmy's like, me? What you mean? What you mean? And Solo hugs him. Which I thought was such a boss move.
Yeah. It's the kiss of death.
Yeah. I love you, brother. I love you too, man. And then who should come out?
And then Jimmy's scared. He thinks something's coming.
Mm.
But then Solo turns and walks away, and Jimmy relaxes a little bit, only to get attacked from behind by the guy that everybody said wouldn't be in the Bloodline because he's not Samoan. But Tama Tonga has joined the Bloodline, and they were very quick to point out son of Haku, close friend of the family, so they put it right in there. And they beat the shit out of Jimmy, like just destroyed him. And then while this is going on, or while it's ending, I guess, Paul reaches for his phone, and he's yelling into the phone, call Roman Reigns, and then Solo grabs the phone out of his hand and smashes it to the ground. And forces Paul to join him and Tama in the Bloodline salute.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful television right there.
Just fuck.
Beautiful.
Again, we're never going to stop talking about this. Had they done this last year, and Cody wins the belt last year, then maybe we don't have a year worth of nothingness like we had with the Bloodline. But I guess we established some things. We broke off Jey from the Bloodline.
WrestleMania, Jey and Jimmy broke off, and then Jimmy went back.
We did anoint Solo as the tribal heir, which it seems like he is now taking his rightful place.
Is he though? So here's the other part. Now, later on in the back, Paul is freaking out after he comes out of Jimmy's locker room, and I forget who the interviewer was, but they said, is Jimmy okay? And he basically just shakes his head. No,
he's not okay.
And then Solo walks over and says, by orders of the tribal chief.
No, Tama Tonga does, which makes better. Yeah. Which makes it even better.
But he says it with Solo not looking at Solo. So you're saying you think that this is Solo taking over as the tribal chief.
That's what I think, yep.
Okay. I'm still of the belief that this is The Rock taking power away from Roman Reigns.
Possibly.
Because why? You can't have Rock in the bloodline and then just drop him out of it with no story.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that the plan ultimately is to go to him and Cody, but let me just lay this out for you a little bit. And obviously this will shake over several months. But we get to a point where we have Tama and Solo going to attack. They're cleaning up all of the bloodline business. So they're going to attack Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps even when he's got his title match against Damian Priest. They're attacking Jay, and all of a sudden, Jimmy comes out and makes the save. Now we've reunited the Uso brothers. So now, what happens? We get the Usos versus Solo and Tama. Well, what happens in that match? Well, Jacob Fatu makes his debut, who we know is signed, as the next member of the Solo-led version of the Bloodline. They stand tall, numbers, blah, blah, blah. Then, at a certain point, they're outnumbered 3-2. And I don't know how they're going to do it, but at a certain point, this is when we get the return of Roman Reigns, perhaps SummerSlam. And Roman aligns himself back with the Usos, and it's the original bloodline versus the new bloodline.
The new breed, if you will.
Right. Then at a certain point, prior to Survivor Series, we find out that it is, in fact, Ben The Rock pulling these strings all along. And he is not only the final boss, he is the new tribal chief.
Possibly. Possibly.
So now you have The Rock, you have Solo, you have Jacob Fatu, and you have... Who am I forgetting? Tama Tonga.
Tama Tonga.
Well, that gets us to War Games, old bloodline versus new bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman and Jimmy and Jay realize that they're outnumbered. So who could the fourth person to join that team with Roman and the Usos be?
Cody Rhodes!
Exactly.
Oh, God. You know how stupid that sounds right now, before we lay any groundwork.
It doesn't.
Before we lay any groundwork.
But Sal, we've already laid the groundwork. Think of how many times Cody talked about the respect he has for the Anoa'i family.
Fair, fair.
Think of how many times he's talked about the respect he has for Mr. Heyman.
Mm.
He's already tight with Jey Uso.
That's true.
And him and Roman have talked multiple times about, though they didn't like each other, they had a mutual respect for each other.
Selfishly.
And Cody already hates The Rock now.
Yes, that's a good point. Now,
so there you have your War Games match for Survivor Series laid out for you.
I will say this. I do feel like they're gonna run with this, who's calling the shots. And they're not going to reveal who's calling the shots for a little bit.
No,
probably a good couple months.
Yeah, because The Rock's not available, so there's no
What's
point.
What's Tama Tonga's partner doing?
Tangaloa?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what he's doing these days. Because, I think he's still floating around
in NJPW. When I saw Tama Tonga show up on SmackDown, and they took out Jimmy, my mind immediately went to Guerrillas of Destiny versus the Usos. How awesome would that
fucking
be?
It would be fantastic.
And the fact that they took out Jimmy was like, this is perfect. And let's not undersell that. I thought the commentators did a fantastic job, especially for who the commentators are. Corey Graves and Wade Barrett, they sold it like, do you know who that is? Fuck yeah, I know who that is. Like,
yeah.
And then, like you said, they mentioned he's the son of Haku, and it worked perfectly.
And Tama looked like a million bucks, by the way.
Great. I love the fact that right before Solo put the chair around Jimmy's neck, Paul Heyman screaming, "No, no, this is not what the tribal chief wants!" Right? Right. Because he was anointed the tribal heir, I like the idea of it being Solo, being like, well, I'm taking over, because he's the only one who didn't lose at Mania. You know what I mean? Now, eventually, yes, you could have Rock backing him up. And you don't even need that till SummerSlam or whenever Rock plans on coming back. But you mentioned Jacob Fatu is signed. So, yeah, I would assume he does play into this somehow.
I don't think Solo's a strong enough character to be the tribal chief. And I don't think Jacob Fatu is going to jump right into that role either. So, to me, it makes sense that Roman's the one pulling, or that Rock is the one pulling the strings.
I love that he dropped that line, though, per order of the tribal chief, because you also could potentially have the idea that it is still Roman. He just doesn't trust Paul anymore, and he wants to do everything through Solo.
Okay. Or, let me drop this little mind bomb on you. What if it's been Paul Heyman pulling the strings all along? What if he's playing a character here to keep Roman off his feet? He was always the one pulling the strings on the Samoan SWAT team back in the day.
That's true.
I can run your family better than you ever could.
Imagine Roman shows up to save Paul, but then Paul turns on him.
Uh-huh.
That would be money.
Yep.
That would be good. Yeah. And then Paul can just keep sending people at Roman.
And in years past, we would sit here and go, these are all great ideas, but it's Vince and he'll screw something up.
Right.
And it'll be now, stupid. But now I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think Triple H has a solid plan for this.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this year, maybe even beginning of next year, do you think we hear Brock's music at some point? Because the reaction will be shock whenever they decide.
I would say no, and I say no only because you don't want to bring him back and then have the Vince McMahon stuff go to court, and now all his stuff is being mentioned in a public courtroom.
Oh, I assume that once this stuff is over.
It has to be over before they can ever consider that.
Do you think it gets to court? You don't think this just ends up in a settlement?
So Vince apparently is telling people he thinks it's going to end up in a settlement soon, and apparently Janelle Grant's lawyer was on TV saying there have been no settlement talks at all. So
of course they're going to say that. They're trying to play their leverage.
Right. I mean, who knows? But
if she's smart, she'll take a settlement. Because if she's not, the best lawyer's money can buy will rip her credibility apart. Let's be honest. That's how the system works.
I mean, there is no coming back for Vince at this point anyway. So.
No, but there is still, you know, Brock that needs to have his name cleared. So there's money there, obviously. I don't think Vince fucking cares. I read a report. He you know, he got his driver bringing him to Manhattan. He eats like a cannoli once in a while. He goes, takes a walk. Like, he's living the good life. He doesn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Whether he's with the WWE anymore or not. I think he's done regardless.
Right.
Should he be living the good life? Who knows? That's a question that I'm not going to be answering because I'm not the judge, jury, and executioner. So I think he's a horrible. Look, he's proved to be a horrible man, a horrible, despicable individual. He's also proved to be a very rich man. And as Troy has said before, things usually don't happen to rich people. Not anything significant.
No, that's true.
But anyway, I do feel like Triple H, he's got plans, and he's got long-term plans that he loves to play out. He did this in NXT for years, and we loved every second of it.
Oh, that's true.
But so right now, Tomatonga is here, and it's a big
difference. Yeah, and that storyline is once again has me glued to SmackDown every Friday night to see what else is going to happen with that. So they've rekindled my interest in this storyline. Also, speaking of which, quick side note, Cody Rhodes has been officially moved to the SmackDown roster, of course, being that he is the champion whose belt is located on SmackDown. So
now they they play that backstage where the Bloodline is pissed that Cody's in that locker room. Could we do a Cody versus Bloodline feud right now, or, you know, after Styles?
I think Cody needs to get away from the Bloodline for a while.
I agree. But how do you keep the Bloodline away from the WWE Championship, though?
Because none of those guys we're talking about are world champion material. So until The Rock comes back, I don't think it's an issue.
Rock holding that belt, being like, this feels right. It was telling. It was planting seeds right there.
Yep.
Unfortunately, real life kind of hinders storylines here and there. And even though it works into the story, Rhea Ripley had to relinquish her women's world championship this week. Unfortunately, she was hurt. She hurt her shoulder or her AC joint or something of that nature in the brawl with Liv backstage.
That's what they say. That's the storyline thing they're saying. I don't know if it was in the match with Becky or not either. It's entirely possible.
It is entirely possible. But that sucks because it didn't look like anybody was taking that belt off of Rhea anytime soon.
Well, they aren't.
But that she relinquished it.
So vacant is your current title holder.
Yes. Also, something that was discussed on NXT, but I didn't see it on Raw, was they said that a new champ will be named on Raw.
Yep. This week, they're going to crown a new champ, is what they said.
Really? Yep.
So it's got to be a battle royal, I would
say. Yeah, I was going to say. Or Fatal 4-Way or something like that. Yeah. If you did a Fatal 4-Way, who's in it?
I think Liv is, because I think that's the story right there.
Liv, Nia.
Becky.
No, I don't think you see Becky for a while. I think she's got some time off.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I think you want gravitas. You want big names. So I don't know if maybe Nia's in there, but I don't know.
Nia's she was in one there.
She was one of the people that they talked to about the title. So it would stand to make some sense. Who else do we have? But see, this is sort of the problem that Rhea has, is that we're sitting here trying to think of who in that division on Raw is big enough to be a championship contender, and we're having trouble coming up with anybody. Whereas you go over to SmackDown and you could name, you know, 7 or 8 different women who you could put the rocket on.
Io, obviously.
Io, Jade, Bianca.
Tiffy.
Yeah.
Who else?
I mean, you could put it on Naomi. She's had it before. Whether I would like it or not, you could.
She's a credible champ. She's
obviously Bayley's your current champ. So, I mean, there's lots of women on that side of the brand. Unless I'm forgetting somebody, let me look up the Raw roster. You talk for a second.
All right. So, heartbreaking for Rhea. To me, it was a real moment in the backstage with the Judgment Day when they were all hugging and stuff. I don't know what this means for Dominic. I think Dominic branches out and I was going to say he does his own thing with Andrade, but obviously, you know, they burn that bridge. But he could still have something with Santos and the Latin heartthrobs if he wanted to.
All right, so we got Becky Lynch, Candice LeRae, Chelsea Green, Indy Hartwell, Ivy Nile.
None of these women scream main event other than
Caden Harder, Caden Carter, Katana Chance.
No.
I said Caden Harder. That's sort of a
that's a wish right there.
Maxine Dupree.
Nope.
Liv Morgan.
Yes.
Natalya, who they seem to think is still in that mix.
No.
Nia Jax.
Yep.
Nikki Cross. Jesus, she's still employed. Holy shit.
I mean, she's a former champ.
Piper Niven.
Maybe.
Raquel Rodriguez, who as far as we know is still battling her issues, so I don't think we'll be seeing
Raquel
her.
Raquel would be in the mix if it wasn't for her health issues.
100%. Yep. Very true. Sarah Schreiber, where the fuck has she been? Have we not seen her in forever, or is it just me?
I don't think I've seen her in months.
Tegan Knox.
No.
Sonya Deville, who is still kicking around backstage. She was recently returned to hanging out backstage, so maybe she's getting ready to get back in the ring. Trish Stratus is still on this roster page. Jesus. Valhalla, Xia Li, or Zoe Stark.
Where's Zoe Stark?
I can see
him
throwing
been?
Zoe in.
Where has she been? She's been no missing idea. From TV. Oh, what about Shayna?
Yeah. Shayna's not listed here.
But she's credible.
Is she on SmackDown? Oh, no, Shayna is listed here. I just missed her. Sorry.
Okay, so Shayna, you could easily put Shayna and Zoe in that mix.
Or Veer. You could identify as a woman.
No, I think Shayna and Zoe would be front and center for a title shot. But like you said, they're probably going to do a battle royal. It's probably going to come down to Liv and Nia, and Liv's probably going to win. I would turn Liv heel. You already have started on Monday night.
But you're talking like, what do they say, like 4 to 6 months for the return of Rhea?
It's at least.
Okay.
From what I've heard. Because
So in theory, for however long Rhea's going to be out is however long you want Liv to hold that title. Do you want a 6 month, 8 month reign for Liv Morgan?
If you turn her heel, then yes.
I think we've already done that, haven't we?
We're there, so might as well just finish it off. Have her, in fact, you could even flip her and Nia. Not that I want Nia as a face, but you could.
I don't think you're ever going to be able to sell Nia as a face to the crowd.
She was at one point.
Not really.
Like, barely?
Anyway. The time when Alexa was trying to bully her.
Yeah. Remember she really was work. Being bullied?
Yeah. By the 5'2" girl, yes.
There's somebody who I would die to have back, Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. Maybe this is the way she returns.
Maybe.
Who knows? Speaking of women, though, we did, on the SmackDown side of things, we did get the first post-WrestleMania stuff for Bayley. And I don't know how you felt about it, because Bayley is talking about how she's setting up for, it's time for some new challengers, and yada, 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 and Tiffy comes out, and I'm like, ooh, all right, I'm here for this. And then we find out that Bayley was actually talking about Naomi. And I'm like, oh, my dick just shriveled up inside of me. Like I was.
Let them have a nice little face versus face, respect, shake your hand match in France. It's not going to mean jack shit. And then we can move on to better things after the draft.
The problem I have is that in order to set this thing up, we had to have Naomi beat Tiffany.
As much as I don't like the idea of Naomi beating Tiffany, kayfabe-wise, it makes sense. Naomi is a former champion. She is a veteran.
So is Natalia. And if they did the same shit with Natalia, y'all would be up in arms.
But they've done it before with Natalia. They've
had
her
beat it every fucking time.
I don't care for Naomi facing Bayley. I know Naomi's not going to win, but if that's the direction they want to go for Backlash,
I'm just so tired of these ice cold programs that I have no interest in seeing. Like, I'm there for Cody and
Styles.
I'm there for Priest and Jay because it's something different. Although Jay and Priest have had 8,000 matches over the last year or two, but you don't have this
dynamic of Priest coming in as the world heavyweight champion.
Right, and two guys pushing up to the top level of the brand for the first time, really.
Speaking of which, they did a video package for Priest on Raw, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
It was really good. Like, really good way to establish him, talk about how long he's been doing this, the whole fucking nine. Oh. Loved it.
But anyway, no mention of damage control at all, including the fact that we still do have the women's tag team titles locked up with Io and Asuka. So
I wouldn't be surprised if they reemerge tomorrow night or tonight. By the time this gets released,
all right, we'll see.
I don't see them being off TV for long, especially not the women's tag champs.
Yeah. Speaking of which, it was interesting to see the return of Piper Niven. So Chelsea's got Piper Niven back with her. Mm-hmm. Also now, Sonya Deville kicking around, so maybe we see a little triangle thing there between for Chelsea's tag team affection.
I completely forgot that they used to be a tag team.
Yeah, till Sonya got hurt. They were the tag team champions, and that's how Piper Niven took over the belt.
How do we feel about them beating KC Squared so easily?
I mean, it happens at this point. I mean, we've talked about how little attention is put into that women's tag team division anyway.
This is true.
Although it does look interesting now that Indy Hartwell is also apparently jumping on the heel train with Candice. So, you know, them as a heel tag team, I could be interested in seeing that.
Did she really cheat, though? I mean, we've seen people jump in when they're not the legal person all the time. It's not like she used a weapon.
No, but then she dragged Candice on top of her, and, you know, it was very heel finish.
I still think we're leading to an Indy versus Candice feud.
I don't think so. I think we're leading now towards a heel tag team.
I don't think Indy wants... Well, character-wise, you know, kayfabe-wise, I don't think Indy wants to be a heel.
She's been a heel with Candice before.
No, I know, but, like, she's been very reluctant with all of Candice's antics, so I can
see
her.
Right, and now she's slowly bought into it. Candice has slowly turned her. They've done this angle before.
All right, we'll see. Real quick, I will have to give you credit, sir. Damian Priest had a nice little conversation backstage with Finn Balor. And Finn says, I think we should focus on getting our tag titles back. And Priest is like, I think you should focus on your match tonight. And I need the Prince out there kicking the shit out of Jey Uso. And Balor's like, okay, you got it. And I'm like, oh, here's that jealousy. Yep. Here it comes. See, he wanted to go back after the tag titles because they just lost them. Yep. Priest obviously has no interest. He's world champion now.
Speaking of another thing I'll take credit for, apparently I was right about where they were going with the Thea Hale bit, because this week, you know, Thea did the, oh, my God, I can't believe you risked your own stuff to keep me healthy because you were worried about me getting hurt. You risked the university, blah, blah, blah. So that is where they were going with it.
I mean, she didn't exactly say that. She just hugged him and was like, yeah.
She said, I can't believe I ever doubted that you were the only one that always believed in me.
Yes. And then...
Just admit I was right, Sal. It's fine. Yeah. We can all move on.
Admit you were right on what? this thing...
You thought Thea was going to be pissed at him about it.
Well, she was last week.
No, she was... Like I said last week, she wasn't pissed. She was just shocked and didn't know how to handle it.
Thea's still got things to deal with, and that thing to deal with is JC Jane, who cost her another match.
Oh, I thought you meant Riley Osborne's dick. That's the other thing she has to deal with. Although, in reality, I guess it's Tyler Bates' dick. That guy's got a thing for hot blondes, though. Shit.
Tyler Bates?
Yeah.
Who was it before? Tony Storm?
Tony Storm, and then Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, and Tyler Bates be laying
pipe all
over the
place. Oh, wait, no. Thea Hale's with Nathan Fraser.
Oh, see? Wrong British guy.
That's right. But Tyler Bates with someone else who's hot now. Is it Maxine?
Maybe.
Shit, I forget.
I don't remember. Oh, beautiful fucking promo by Tatum Paxton.
Right now,
Paxton.
Troy's screaming into his fucking...
By the way, beautiful promo by Tatum Paxton. The first person that she omitted that I noticed was Sasha Banks, but I get why she didn't say Sasha Banks, because that girl doesn't work for this company anymore. I didn't even think of Mandy. Okay? So, sorry. But in the
Sol Ruka. Sol Ruka.
Okay. In the... Wow, that good for him.
That's what I'm saying. He's definitely got a type.
In the hall of NXT Women's Champions, for some reason, Mandy didn't even come up in my mind.
Despite being like one of the longest reigning of all time behind, I think, only Asuka.
Sure, but you think of people like Bayley, Charlotte, Asuka, right. Shayna, Rhea. Yeah. I don't know. Mandy just doesn't... Io. Yeah, Io's in there.
So apparently Mandy was upset she wasn't mentioned in Tatum Paxley's promo, which, by the way, Paxley did a fantastic job. But they didn't mention Sasha either. They only mentioned people who are currently...
That's the one I did it. That's the one I noticed. When she started rattling off names and she didn't say Sasha, I was like, oh, but she doesn't work here. So, of course she didn't. That didn't bother me. But that's the only one that, like, jumped off the page for me.
Right.
Now, they put them in a triple threat against...
She didn't say Raquel Rodriguez either, did she?
She did. She said Raquel. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Ava, or, you know, Lady Chicklets, put put Tatum and Tatum and Lyra in a triple threat against Roxanne next week, or at spring break, and whenever they do the match. And that's cool, except for the fact that because it's a triple threat, we know Roxanne ain't losing now.
By the way, this name sucks. It sucks for the last 3 years, spring breaking. It's stupid. Change it.
I thought it made sense when Bron Breakker was there.
What was the old WCW Nitro one that they used?
Spring Break.
Spring Breakout, I think.
I don't know.
Like that.
I thought it was just... It doesn't matter. It was just fucking at like one of the hot spots for Spring Break. And then
they need a better name than Spring Break, and it sounds stupid.
They have a lot of stupid fucking special event names in NXT.
I like the better one. It was just TakeOver, whatever, but... I like the Great American Bash. I like Halloween Havoc.
I was going to say, those two are really good.
Why don't we just go Spring Stampede?
But like Vengeance Day? I don't know.
Use NXT as the place you use all those old WCW copyrights that you have sitting in a fucking folder somewhere.
War Games!
They've already done that. Spring Stampede. Perfect. There you go. Go with it. Starcade, you know?
Did you like Lyra showing up, or do you think they should have kept her off TV for a little bit to build that a bit more?
I mean, it's only a week. They got to get her out there so people know she's okay to have some interest in the match. I don't know what Tatum did in kayfabe to qualify for a title shot, but sure, whatever.
She beat Thea Hale.
You can't even say that with a straight face.
Hey, she got a win. I don't know. It's Ava. She doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
So here's the thing. I think most of us at this point are of the belief that when we talk about the NXT talent that's going to be moving up to the main roster post-draft, we're talking about Carmelo Hayes. We're talking about Roxanne Perez. So do you think we have Roxanne drop the title at Spring Breakin'?
Quite possibly.
And I can't imagine dropping it right back to Lyra, because
so
then the point?
Maybe it goes to Tatum.
It'll be interesting.
The only problem is, if you have Lyra, and I know that they don't care, because they only care about the main roster, at least they have the past couple of years. But if you have Roxanne drop the title, everything she was worried about this past Tuesday when she was accusing Ava of stacking the deck against her comes true. Like,
right, but she can also, again, she can lose with Tatum pinning Lyra.
Yeah, Roxanne called that out. You're just putting this as a triple threat so I don't have to be pinned.
Yeah.
And then she loses.
Yeah. And then thank God I'm off that show with that general manager who was out to get me.
And onto what show? Because she's a tough sell as a heel on the main roster.
Really? Didn't we just have a segment talking about Candice LeRae as a heel?
Candice put in the work.
So is Roxanne.
Who do you have Roxanne attack in her main roster debut? If she's a heel,
who's she going to attack? What brand is she going to be on?
I don't know. That's the thing, right? I don't know who's going to be on what brand in 2 weeks.
Well, and that's the point. So now you want me to tell you maybe she attacks fucking Bailey? Maxine Dupree.
Oh, okay. I was aiming higher, but that's fine.
Well, they're going to intro her to the audience a little bit.
Yeah.
They're not going to jump her right into the main event.
Sure. But Maxine is... That's not somebody you should... She should be attacking somebody like Becky. But, of course, Becky's not here right now.
Do that, Ivy Nile.
You already got those two mixed up with Candice and Indy, so...
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. Do you like the new tag titles?
I do. I mean, I like... The thing is are they great? No. But to me, they're a shit ton better than the fucking ones they had.
Okay. I like them. I think they do look very similar to the world title. So it seems.
I think that, unfortunately, I think they look very similar to the AEW Trios titles.
Really? Okay, I wasn't even thinking of those, because if you told me to pick those belts out of a lineup, I couldn't tell you what they look like. My issue here is, I can see the writing on the wall. We're going with that UFC style of every title looks the same, so we're gonna have half the titles be the WWE version and the other half be the world version.
Right, which we've always done.
Why did they get rid of him in the first place? We literally had the world title and WWE titles from 2002 to 2016 or 2013, and then they were like, no, we're going to get rid of it, only to bring it back.
Well, then they had Raw and SmackDown titles.
They also
can't make up their mind about the fucking brand splits.
I was going to say, okay, we have literally been doing this dance for 20 years now. We split up the rosters. We have one roster have the world titles. We have the other roster have the WWE titles. Then we combine them. Then we try to branch out again. Then those belts suck, so we combine them, and then we're back to the world titles. Then you have Rock threatening that he's going to take away the world title, so what? So we get another Universal title?
By the way, Cody is now officially the WWE undisputed WWE champion.
Yes. They dropped Universal.
Yeah. Because Roman's coming back with that blue belt.
No, he's not. That title has now been absorbed into the history of the WWE title, which is weird.
We did get a second appearance this week on SmackDown of Jade Cargill as her and Bianca beat up Chelsea and Piper. I assume we're doing this to really push the Bianca and Jade tag team so that Jade can turn on her relatively soon.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
That sounds the same vibe you're getting.
Oh, yeah. Going back to the tag titles for just a second, that segment, first of all, they are correct. That segment did go on too long. But do you think that segment fell a little flat? I know Triple H was laughing, or trying to hold in laughing. That's fine.
I mean, listen, R-Truth is a very polarizing character. I get it. I understand it. We had a little tit-for-tat between you and Troy in the host thread. You and I had a little bit last week. Again, I don't have a problem with R-Truth getting a WrestleMania moment, given his history of work in the company and being there forever and putting a lot of people over. And, you know, say what you want about R-Truth. The Judgment Day was more over when he was fucking with them. 100%. They were getting better reactions.
I was going to say, the segments were funnier. I don't know if they were more over.
Well, funnier gets you over more. So, he had
his positive
effect.
That's true. There was a pipe bomb, quote unquote, that Punk did when he was heel champ back in 2012 when he said, you know, you got a monster like Brodus Clay that has to come out here and dance for you people just to get over. But in that same promo, he said, you have a submission machine like Daniel Bryan, but the only thing that gets him over is the stupid yes chants. He's not wrong.
Do you think that this is a 2 week and done thing and that DIY takes the tag titles next week?
No, I don't. I think they had a good showing, and ultimately...
No, I think DIY takes it this week. Okay. Otherwise, why not have it be the Creeds? Because DIY had their shot at WrestleMania. They've had a couple shots at getting the titles now, and why have them come up short again when you can have the Creeds? It would be a new match and a new challenger and somebody who it's not going to have a negative effect to have them lose again. You know what I mean?
I will say, if DIY does lose, it definitely puts a dark cloud over that tag team having a future, to the point where I can actually see them getting split up in the draft.
Or they turn heel and join Candice and Indy into the Way.
Oh, I'd love that. Let's get a heel Way going again. I'm not even being sarcastic. I would like that. That would be cool. No, I was just going to say, the only thing that bothered me about that R-Truth segment was, like, he was on the verge of, like, all white people look alike. You know what I mean? Oh, that's Tommaso Ciampa. Oh, that's true. Okay.
Did that offend you as a Mexican?
No, because I'm not a Mexican.
Anyway. I swear to God, that's what Troy said.
Send it to the source. So, what else?
Speaking of things that were awesome, let's talk about something else that was awesome.
Okay.
Sami Zayn's entrance this week on Raw.
Fantastic. But he'll always get that reaction in Montreal.
Jay goes, he's running away out of the building. And as he's leaving, he runs into Sami Zayn standing at the entranceway. Mm-hmm. And he says, what the hell are you doing here? And Sami says, when I first came, my first wrestling show I came to in this building, I was a fan. I fell in love with it, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to enter the building tonight the same way I did that night, through the front door. And he walks, and the camera, again, we've talked about the change in production, so fucking beautiful. Sami walks all the way through the crowd, all the way through the entrance, into the arena, around the crowd, like comes into the ring and goes, fuck it, I'm not done, and goes back in the crowd and continues throughout the commercial break. What a fucking entrance for Sami Zayn. What a reaction.
What an entrance. What a reaction. I fucking love Sami. I really do. And I was so against him winning the IC title. But it doesn't matter what belt it is. Sami makes it work.
Yeah.
And I kind of see why they didn't do the turn at Mania. Because holy shit. The way they played that fucking Chad Gable turn at the very end.
First off. Fantastic match yes. that Gable and Sami put
on. Which we knew was going to be.
Right. Great back and forth. You get to the end. Sami gets the win. They shake hands. Chad raises his hand, goes to leave, clearly upset, but, you know, handling it like a sportsman would. Sami goes out to celebrate with his wife and his child. And out of nowhere, you just see somebody grab Sami from behind, only to find out it's Gable, and he hits a suplex on him on the floor. Starts the beat down. Fantastic heel turn. And when we talk about, you know, breadcrumbs and the way they sort of foreshadow things, to have the thing that finally got Chad to snap to be watching Sami go out and celebrate with his wife, the thing that Gable was denied doing when he lost to Gunther, beautiful. Chef's kiss. Fantastic piece of storytelling right there.
Very well done. Very well done. And again, because you did it in Montreal, I had the reaction of, Chad, how could you? You piece of shit. Like,
and there's video surfacing of the crowd chanting, fuck you, Gable, afterwards.
So fucking perfect. When you say out of nowhere, it was so good. Again, the camera work. The shot was tight. It was just Sami and his wife, and then just somebody snatches them up. It's so fucking good.
We probably shouldn't be surprised, because this is also, this is the type of shit that Triple H puts attention on. Mm-hmm. You think back to when he was running NXT, and you had that shot of Keith Lee coming up from behind Adam Cole. It's just like, he was very focused on getting those really tight shots that really had an impact. And I think he's brought that to the main roster.
He's done,
now
yeah.
Now that he's in charge up there, he's fantastic
he's
job.
He's done amazing camera work back in NXT. Like you said, that, Keith Lee, you had things with Ciampa and Gargano. You know, he kept the shot tight. All you can hear is them pick up on the other mic. And he's like, you know, it wasn't our moment. It's mine. Like, it's fucking great. And credit to Triple H, because he could have stayed with what worked and he could have just kept everything stagnant. No, he made the decision to freshen things up and change the way they shot the show.
Yep.
As much credit as I have to give to Triple H, I am unfortunately going to give some criticism, maybe selfishly, to one Nick Khan.
Okay.
Nick Khan was asked the future of WrestleMania going forward, and he responded with, going in early April at an outdoor stadium on the East Coast, we're going to assume you're not going to see that again. Going up against the Final Four Saturday night games, assume you're not going to see that again. Okay, first of all, when have they ever had an issue going against the Final Four?
This year.
No, but I feel like they've done it in the past. I remember specifically watching college basketball and Mania games. So
I don't think so. Not because WrestleMania's only been on Saturday for what now? 8 years? 5 years?
5 years.
Okay, so it's I don't think in the last 5 years they've
never run against college basketball.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay, I really don't see how that it's like two different audiences. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it is, but it isn't. I mean, there's definitely crossover.
Yeah, but we're talking about network television because it's the Final Four. It's not even on cable. It's network television.
It was actually on TNT.
All right. Well, I mean, versus streaming though, like, is that really? I don't know. Whatever. As far as the outdoor stadium on the East Coast thing, look. Thank God, I saw the greatest WrestleMania of all time. With the greatest story of all time finished. Because now I'll never get to see a WrestleMania again unless I travel to fucking California.
Well, I mean, dude, there's a reason they don't typically hold Super Bowls in cold weather cities either.
First of all, there are stadiums in the Northeast that have domes.
Such as?
Indianapolis.
That's not the Northeast. That's the Midwest.
No, it's not the mid. Well,
it is literally the Midwest. Now. Indiana is literally the Midwest.
The why they play in the AFC South? Anyway, there's no other stadiums that have domes in the entire East Coast. Toronto has a dome.
I mean, they've done that. They could do that, I suppose.
Sure. Let's bring WrestleMania back.
You going to go to Toronto for WrestleMania?
Skydome, baby. What, they've done it before. They've done it twice before.
As I recall, so there were certain cities that... Do you remember a couple of years ago the Patriots were in the Super Bowl in Jacksonville and all everybody did was complain about how the city wasn't really equipped for the kind of influx of tourists and... all the other shit that goes along with it.
Yes.
I think I remember hearing that about WrestleMania when they did it in Toronto. Now, obviously, that was years and years and years ago, so the landscape could very well have changed within the town, but, you know.
But what confuses me is Nick Khan's comments come on the heels of somebody did an interview with the mayor from Philadelphia who was like, it was great for the city. It was great for the WWE.
Right. So,
like, both sides made record-breaking profits.
So, Sal, the problem here is you're not approaching this as a businessman. Because let's say, stop for a second, and you're Nick Khan. WrestleMania is now similar to the Super Bowl, where these cities bid to host WrestleMania. So now, what Nick Khan has basically said was, hey, if you're an East Coast city, you're going to have to pay a little bit more to get WrestleMania. I know y'all want it. It's going to cost you a little more because it hurts our production. It has to change in order to accommodate it.
As somebody who's a little bit older who grew up in the 80s and 90s, I hate that everything is tailored towards the rich and the corporate. And that includes the Super Bowl. I hate how they play the same three or four cities every fucking year. You know what I mean? Like, San Diego, Dallas, L.A.
Wasn't this past year literally the first time it was in Vegas?
That's a whole nother story. Don't get me started on the gambling in this country that's all of a sudden okay for everybody else unless you're a professional athlete. Let's do a fucking Super Bowl in Vegas. Gee, I wonder why. Because it fucking boosts their gambling numbers.
Okay, so wouldn't it have done that every year before?
No, because it was illegal before.
Vegas didn't have a team.
They have a brand new shiny stadium.
That's why. Ding, 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 ding. You just nailed the reason why they finally hosted the Super Bowl.
Where's the next Super Bowl going?
I bet you
it's San Diego.
Hold on.
Or it's Dallas. Like, I'm so sick of it, dude. They don't... Why do they... It's not why. I know the why. I don't give a fuck about your fucking...
SoFi Stadium, Los Angeles, California.
Big fucking surprise. Why? Why do we have to cater our sporting events to the ultra rich and to certain parts of the country so that they're in the same fucking place every goddamn time?
You know Los Angeles is home to some of the poorest parts of this country, right?
That's not where SoFi Stadium is.
So your contention here is that there are no poor people in Los Angeles.
I didn't say that.
That's literally what
I said.
You said
they're
catering the entire event to the rich people.
Do you think the poor people in Los Angeles can afford tickets to the Super Bowl?
Do you think the moderately middle-income people can afford tickets to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because I just afford tickets to WrestleMania, and that
okay, how many poor people do you think are going to pay for the tickets to WrestleMania?
Dude, there was a lot of blue-collar people at WrestleMania in Philly.
Blue-collar is middle class. You just said that. So now we're not talking middle class. We're talking poor people.
Right, but they're not catering to middle class. They're catering to the rich.
How?
When you do a Super Bowl at fucking Texas Stadium in Dallas.
This is why we need Troy here to break up our fights. Go ahead.
Okay. You cannot tell me that they do not cater to the ultra-rich for these big, big deals like the Super Bowl.
Who the fuck do you think is going to the Super Bowls in New York? Where? How is it in your head that L.A. has more rich people than New York does?
No. It's not about the quantity of rich people in the state.
Okay, we're changing the argument here.
No. It's about we need to have a warm weather city with lots of hotels that can accommodate these rich fucking celebrities like Taylor Swift. Again, Philly, record-breaking numbers on both sides. Why would you automatically disqualify? And he didn't say, oh, they'll have to pay more. He said, you won't see that again. That's the words he used.
I think he said you probably won't see that again. But in any event, you've now created three different arguments, so I'm not sure which one we're arguing at this particular point in time. They don't cater the Super Bowl to the celebrities in Los Angeles. There are plenty of celebrities in New York. There are celebrities in Philadelphia. There are celebrities in every fucking state in the entire country. Los Angeles has a area that has the ability to contain the press and the visitors that go along with a Super Bowl, similar to a WrestleMania that we were just talking about. They've got enough stuff within a condensed area that there's food establishments, there's stuff to support the ancillary events that go along with the Super Bowl, similar to WrestleMania. There's a ton of stuff that goes into it. I guarantee you, nobody's sitting in the fucking planning on where we're going to have the Super Bowl and, oh, well, you know, if we do it here, Justin Timberlake will be really fucking happy. Nobody gives a shit about that, Sal.
Everything you just mentioned is available in Chicago. It's available in Philly. It's available in New York. So tell me why they don't do more Super Bowls there.
Because
it's cold?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here. Like, who fucking cares?
If we're willing
to pay for the tickets?
Let me explain from a production standpoint, from somebody who is putting on a production for people to watch. What was the major criticism of night one of WrestleMania?
It was cold.
No, but what did that cold lead to?
You tell me.
A really fucking quiet crowd. The crowd on night one of WrestleMania was very quiet. And
so
they
must have just magically changed the temperature for the main event, right?
The main event was relatively quiet compared to the main event of night two?
When I watched night one, it was loud for the main event. It was very loud.
It was nowhere near as loud as night two. The fucking opening match on night two was louder than the main event of night one.
Really?
And it wasn't particularly close.
Okay.
Now, when you talk about the Northeast and the weather, the only WrestleMania that has been delayed due to weather was in the Southeast in Tampa Bay. But that's, you know, Joe and a poncho. But whatever.
I wish, and I know, I get it. You're getting offended
as a Northeasterner.
I am. It's true.
You feel like attacked, like your area of the country is being attacked.
No, it's true.
There's a reason they don't hold Super Bowls here, because it's not as enjoyable an experience for the paying customer.
I wish they would go all over the country. I wish they would go multiple different places. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, but it's not a good experience for the Cup. It's the same reason they don't do a lot of stuff in the Pacific Northwest, because it's raining all the fucking time. It's not a great experience for the fucking paying consumer.
It's literally raining like 300 days out of the year in England, and that doesn't stop them from having like Premier League soccer games over there and like championships.
Well, why did they send the Super Bowl over there?
Because it's an American.
How many WrestleManias have been in London?
Well, there's been a SummerSlam.
there's a handful of marquee sporting events that have that level of people coming from around the world to witness it.
Also, John Cena said that WrestleMania will come to London. I believe him.
Okay. You do that.
Speaking of which, why haven't they announced where WrestleMania is for next year?
Probably because Nick Khan's still trying to figure it out. He found out that Minnesota was a cold weather state and...
He didn't have knowledge that Minnesota was cold before that.
Maybe there weren't enough rich people in Minnesota for him.
He's probably going to move it to L.A. Ah, let's do everything in L.A. and Vegas. How about that?
So it can be right there for Cameron. Ha ha! Grind!
Speaking of which, I was thinking about this earlier this week because I was watching an old clip of DiBiase, right? It's Ted Sr., not Jr. Do you feel like all that effort that he put into Grimes' character was wasted?
Grimes just... It was going to be very hard for Grimes to translate to the main roster, even worse to try to do it under Vince.
Well, Vince is gone, and Grimes still remains off TV.
Grimes has already been sort of forgotten by... Yeah. Unfortunately.
I just feel like if you take the time to bring in a veteran...
That's a guy
legend,
I can see drafted back to NXT.
Sure. But I'm saying in general, if the WWE takes the time to bring back a legend and have him put in effort and time into a story, you'd figure they want some type of payoff, like long-term payoff.
You hope for it, but it's like Ric Flair with The Miz.
I was going to say JBL with Baron Corbin.
But I think even the smaller interaction between JBL and Josh Briggs has already reaped more benefits.
Yeah. Which is weird, because the time doesn't add up. It was very small interaction with Briggs. He spent weeks with Corbin.
Yeah.
Speaking of Briggs, I really enjoyed that match he had with Ivar this week.
Yeah, no, it's two New England guys beating the shit out of each other. So I like that they continue to sell the idea of Briggs being hurt, and that's the only reason he's losing these matches, even though... He's still losing them, but they're sort of giving him an out for losing it so that they can, like, hey, your push is coming. We're going to build you up this way. So you're the one that shouldn't be fighting but just refuses to not fight. So I like it. I like it. We'll get there.
Speaking of New England, guys, I really enjoyed that Mello trick cage match.
Yeah, it was good.
It's the first time we kind of saw his security get physically involved during the match. They all tried to jump in the cage, and Trick was fighting them off. I don't know what that weapon was that they threw to Mello in the middle of the match, but it was not an ice stick. That thing looked like a baseball bat. But Trick wins, which he should, because he's the one that is getting the title match at Spring Breakin'.
Yeah.
Do we see Mello anymore before the draft?
Nope.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either.
And true to Mello, apparently they got the thank you Mello chant after the match was over and proceeded to flip off the crowd as he left. Those motherfuckers all turned on him.
I never seen a guy come into, you know, the mainstream this quick and just like a fish to water, man.
Yeah. Gets everything right. Good.
That's all I got that I can think of off the top of my head. I know Logan Paul's having a baby. Good for him. But that, yeah. You know, I have nothing bad to say about that. Good for him.
John Moxley won the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
I saw a picture with him with the belt, and I was like, no way.
Yeah, he did. And they made a point to tell you it 8,000 times on Dynamite this week.
So he's going to defend that belt at Forbidden Door, right?
I have no idea if he's going to or not. I would assume so.
Interesting.
Willow Nightingale got jumped similar to Mercedes last week. So obviously trying to figure out the new mystery of whodunit in AEW. Because the last one worked out so fucking well.
So that's what they're doing? They're jumping people, and then it turns into a who jumped them?
Yep, pretty much.
Huh. Kind of like what happened to Dragon Lee. Although they didn't even touch on that. They didn't even bring it up.
Claudio and Will had the type of banger match you would expect those two to have.
Claudio Castagnoli and Will Ospreay?
Will Ospreay, yep.
Oh, I might go back and watch that.
I would. It was a good match. Worth checking out. Other than that, not a lot of great stuff on a go home episode. But as we said, go home episode, that brings us to our next stuff that we're going to do, which is the predictions for AEW Dynasty. So if you will point your browser to rundownwrestling.com.
And then you want to click on the little button that says advance when it says your connection is not private and just completely ignore any warning. It's fine. It's not real. It's not a real warning. They all do that. And AEW Dynasty predictions with a big, giant picture of Joe taking up the poster. My God, that makes his head look huge. I mean, oh, he does have...
Perfect timing. My fucking Chrome just froze.
I was going to say your computer's infected for going to this website. I'm kidding. People, it's fine. Go to the website.
Jesus
make your predictions.
Christ, Sal. Jesus fucking Christ. All right, I'm going to try to close this and force close it and see if I can get it to open up again. We'll see. Bear with me for a second here, folks.
Troy called it AEW Nasty Predictions instead of Dynasty. Get it? I like it. Sunday, right, April 21st from the Chaffetz Arena? Chaffetz Arena. Ugh.
Well, hold on. Before we even don't read any names yet.
I'm not. Just reading the arena name.
What is the arena name? Hold Chaffetz. On. I'll find it. Hold on. I want to just do a quick little look up here. Keep talking. It's going to awful fucking audio if you're
sorry,
not.
Sorry. So, yes, this is AEW's newest pay-per-view, AEW Dynasty. It's what they were going to name their video game, but... Doesn't matter what they named their video game, it wasn't going to sell any more than it already did. For some reason, this poster has Christian Cage as the TNT champion, but that's not accurate now, is it?
It has what?
Christian Cage as the TNT champion?
No, he is not.
No? See, so this poster itself is outdated, and it's their only pay-per-view that's been called Dynasty, so no excuses there. Also, okay. This poster has
all
the
right,
Acclaimed
so for
on
those,
it.
For those that's wondering, the Chaffetz Arena is a 10,600-seat multi-purpose arena in St. Louis, Missouri. So for those of you keeping score, 10,600 seats. For those interested, AEW Dynasty is currently at 6,058 tickets sold as of the last time this was updated. So, roughly a little more than half the arena.
To be fair, if they actually get 6,400 people to show up for this, that's a success for them.
Yeah, fair. We'll see. Anyway, let's go to the AEW Dynasty predictions, starting with the unification match for both trios' belts, because who gives a shit? Fair point, Troy. The Scissor Sisters, Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, and Daddy Bussy. Okay. Versus the Gang Bang Gang. Game Changer White and the Guns. Sal, who do you got in this one?
So that's they're taking the Ring of Honor Trios titles and they're unifying them?
Yes.
So they're just getting rid of the Ring of Honor Trios
basically,
titles?
Basically, yes.
Okay. And currently, the Bullet Club is the Ring of Honor one?
Yes.
Oh, then they're winning the AEW ones.
That was my pick, too. I'm going with the gang, as Troy has here. Random-ass trios match, because AEW loves them some trios matches. Adam Copium, Edwina Queenston, and Mark Briscoe. Troy, you're trying to get me in trouble. I'm not going to do that. Versus a legit faction, Malachi Black, Brody Not the Good One, and Buddy Ain't Getting Handies Anymore.
Jesus.
She's got another hand, Troy.
That's true. Yeah, I did happen to catch when they booked this on AEW TV, and I was very confused at why Copeland is teaming with Kingston and Mark Briscoe.
Reasons.
So for that, let's go with Copeland's team, because...
So I'm going to go with
assuming the House of Black is on their way out anyway.
I'm going to go with the House of Black. I think this is hopefully at least a vehicle to get us to Malachi Black versus Adam Copeland.
Is it true that Malachi Black and Buddy Murphy's contracts are coming up?
I think they signed 5-year deals whenever they debuted, so.
Oh, I thought it was 3.
I was 5.
Wow.
I have no idea.
How the fuck did Andrade get out then?
I don't know. Maybe he signed 3. I have no idea. Fuck the rules match for the Fuck Twink Wrestling Championship. This is between a team that worked 4 matches together. So, Hooker, which is Hook, versus Le Cunt.
Le Cunt.
Which is Chris Jericho.
Okay, you have to help me out with this one, because last time I watched these two, they were Lion Hook. And then I did happen to see a clip a couple weeks ago where Jericho was an arrogant asshole and Shibata is using a, like, translator, like a digital one, and he's like, what's his problem? Right. Hook's like, I don't know, he's a fucking asshole. So, is that it? Jericho's heel again?
Yep. Well, he's sort of pretending to want to help Hook, but really just using him to... It's sort of a takeoff on real life, trying to use the young talent to get yourself over. So... in any event, it's been like 3 weeks since Chris Jericho had a title, so I'm going to go with Chris Jericho to win this title, just so he could carry around a belt.
Is it the FCW title?
Yeah.
You would think, with all his years of friendship with Taz, you would think he would do the right thing and lay down for Hook.
Well, Hook's already beaten him once.
Really?
Hmm. That's part of the story.
I don't want 50-year-old Chris Jericho winning a title. I don't care if it is the FTW Championship. So far, the FTW Championship is a very short list of champions, and Jericho does not need to be on that list. I'm going with Hook.
Okay, go for Hook. Jungle Boy's on that list, by the way. AEW Intercontinental Championship, and I said continental, that is the international championship, Roderick Boer versus Kyle O. Fuck yourself, okay?
Why are we... Okay, explain this to me. Why are we doing this? I thought Kyle O'Reilly was distancing himself from Undisputed Kingdom.
He basically... So Roderick Strong had a number one contenders match with, I believe it was Shibata.
Yeah.
Basically, Roddy said, you know, why didn't you ask me for a match? Because... O'Reilly said, hey, if you win to Shibata, I'd love a match, a chance to get a shot at the title. He said, hey, we're friends. I didn't want to put you on the spot like that. But yeah, I'd like a shot at the title at some point, blah, blah, blah. So after Roderick Strong won the match, Kyle O'Reilly came out to celebrate with them. And Kyle O'Reilly got laid out by Roderick Strong.
Oh. Did the Kingdom help? Did they all beat him down?
Not Adam Cole. He's not with them anymore.
He's not with them?
Well, he's not traveling. He's not live on TV. Which, by the way, we forgot to mention that the D'Angelo family announced that they have whacked Drew Gulak. So,
shit.
Apparently.
That's right. I did forget about that. What I didn't... real quick on that. That whole segment took way too long.
Uh-huh.
Like, no quota catch crew was like, we're not paying you. And Tony was like, I don't do things for free. And then they just kept dancing around and dancing around until finally Tony punched him in the face. And I'm like, you could have done that from jump. The same effect.
Pretty much.
Yeah, apparently they whacked Drew Gulak. We took care of one of yours because you guys couldn't. Okay.
All right, who do you got, Roderick Strong or Kyle O'Reilly?
Man, I'd like for it to be. This actually, you know what? For all fucking intents and purposes, this is actually a match I would be looking forward to.
This card has a few matches I'm actually interested in watching.
Let's go Kyle. Let's go okay. Kyle. Let's go, Kyle.
I'm going to go with Roddy. He just got the belt. I just don't see him taking it off of him just yet. House of Horrors match for the AEW Hose Championship. Julia Shart, i.e. Julia Hart, versus Willow Nightingale.
Let's go with Willow because we need her to lose that belt to Mercedes very quickly.
Fair point. Same idea. I'm going to go with Willow as well. AEW Continental Championship. Jesus Christ. Kazuchika, the Stainmaker Okada, defends against Packet Pussy.
Okay, this is a match I am looking forward to.
Same, yeah.
Love this idea. I hope these guys fucking beat the shit out of each other. And I'm going to go Okada because he's part of the Elite. They don't lose.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Okada, too. He just came in. I can't imagine him dropping the title already. Okay, I like this one. CM Punk presents the CM Punk ladder match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. The Young Cucks, Nick Cuntless, and Blue Chew Jackoffs. Okay. Versus Forever Tony's Rim Jobbers, Wish.com, Soda Popinski, and soon-to-be asking for cash bail weenus.
Blue Chew Jackoffs, Blue Chew Matthew, I get it, kind of. I get what he was going for there. Matthew Jackson, yeah. Blue Chew Jackoffs.
So on this one, I can tell you what's going to happen already.
Well, before you even do, I'm picking the Young Cucks.
Fucking picked first on all of these. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so the way this is going to play out is FTR is going to be close to winning. This is where we're going to get the return of Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
He's going to help
the Young Bucks win it, and this is the payoff for the fucking... This is what makes airing the CM Punk footage all make sense, because it brought Jack Perry back into the good graces of the Young Bucks, and they helped him win the titles. So.
And then Jack Perry can be part of the Elite!
Plus, then the Young Bucks can say they're the first three-time AEW Tag Team Champions.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll have Jack Perry join the Elite?
Probably.
They better, because if they don't, it's like, thanks for the help, but you're not good enough. See you later.
And then he'll get in a fight backstage with somebody because, you know.
Real glass.
Yeah.
Cry about it.
AEW Women's Championship. Twatless Toni Storm. I'm pretty sure that's not true.
Right.
Versus Thunder Pussy.
That might be true.
Okay. Likely. Probably true. This is an interesting one. I think I'm going to say Timeless Toni Storm is going to keep the title, so I'm going to go with her. But I think this should be a good match if they don't get too wrapped up in the comedy bullshit and just let him actually wrestle.
So speaking of which, tell me how this has played out on TV. I know the initial interaction. I haven't watched the past couple weeks.
So
Thunder Rosa have been taking out Toni Storm at every turn, or what are we doing?
Toni Storm attacked her, rubbed her face paint off. Thunder Rosa took it as a sign of disrespect on this week's episode. She put Tony's lipstick all over Tony's face and rubbed it on her. Apparently, Deonna Purrazzo is still circling around because she's upset that Thunder Rosa took the title shot. Deonna thinks she should have it. And so I wouldn't be shocked if Deonna ends up costing Thunder Rosa the match.
Oh, yeah. That seems like that's the way that's going to go.
Yeah.
Because why else would you have Deonna involved in this at all? She could just branch off and do something else. All right.
So you're picking Toni Storm as well?
I am.
Okay. Grind rules match for the biggest grinder user. Will he fly back home after this match or stay? Okay, that was a good one. Versus Daniel Bryanson Danielson. This is the match for me that this whole show is built around watching. This is the money match right here. This should be fantastic. Should be hard hitting. Should be everything that you want out of a big time pro wrestling match. It will have the big fight feel. It doesn't need a title match for it. It's going to be a fantastic match. Daniel Bryanson is at the point right now in his career where he's so focused on wrapping up and putting everyone else over. I think Ospreay's winning this one.
Agreed. But the real winners are going to be the fans. And as cliche as that sounds, look, I'm sorry. This is a marquee match. This is a match I've always fucking thought about.
Yeah.
You know, for years. Yeah. So let's go. Let's hope Danielson doesn't break his elbow in the first 5 minutes. Because that's what happened with Okada. It wasn't 5 minutes, but still. Man, I hope they fucking burn the house down. I really do.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. Looking very much forward to it. Finally, our main event, the empty hard cam section match for the AEW Regional Championship. Joey Samoa versus Swerve Strickland, ending this push.
No, I disagree with that.
I do too.
I think the title. Not only should Swerve win, but let's, even though it is what it is, let's finally erase that AEW doesn't have a black world champion. Let's erase that. Let's make it Swerve. He's the right guy at the right time. If they don't put the belt on Swerve, what are we even doing?
And then the second they put the belt on Swerve, guess what happens? Oh, you should totally drop it to Will Ospreay.
Yeah, I know, probably.
That's what this fan base does. It's like, we really want this guy to have a title until the guy has a title. And they're like, all right, we really want this next guy to have a title. So, hell, I've heard Daniel Garcia is a future world champion. Based on what?
But
I could wrestle, but other than that.
Not only has Swerve kind of put the company on his back in the past few months, I don't think there's been anybody hotter in recent memory. Again, I like Joe, but Joe at this age doesn't need to be world champion. Oh. Put it on Swerve.
Maybe this is the spot where MJF comes back and costs Joe the title.
Could be.
Who knows?
Could be.
But anyway, click submit.
You mean he didn't show up at Mania? I thought he was going to show up.
No, he didn't. Hit submit and your predictions will be locked in, and this might be a record for the earliest episode of the Rundown that has ever finished in the history of the show.
Pre-11 o'clock.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, real quick,
I guess we're gonna fuck that up now.
Just in case anybody was wondering, when The Rock came out and he disposed of John Cena and hit him with that rock bottom during the main event, nobody went, oh, I can't wait for MJF's music to hit next. Just for the record. Although, to be fair, it probably would have gotten a very nice reaction.
I'm sure it would have.
But yeah, nobody bought that shit. No.
What will get a huge reaction is next week's edition of The Rundown, where hopefully a couple more of our hosts will be back. Hopefully everybody will be feeling better. And we will see what happens with that. But we will be back with Dynasty Recap for those, well, I assume if Sal and I are on, because we're probably the only two that have a shot of actually watching that thing. We'll be back to talk about that, at least talk about the results, and as well as what's been going on in the world of wrestling. Can't wait to see what we follow up with the Bloodline storyline on SmackDown this week. Lots of irons in the fire as we head towards Backlash as well. So, Sal, why don't you send us home?
Well, I guess that means that we'll run your ass down next time.
Your mother's a whore!
She's an egg-sucking dog!